Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray once again your fresh anointing on Elaine as she comes to bring your word, as she comes to speak, Lord, what's been on her heart for quite a while, Lord, at what you've put on her heart, we believe. And I just pray, Lord, that her words are not words that will just sort of hit the walls and bounce off, but they are words that will touch our hearts, Lord, and that words that will just really help us in our faith, Lord. And you've got a message for all of us here today. It might be different messages, but you've got something for all of us today, Lord. So please open our hearts, be ready to receive it. And I pray your blessing on Elaine and give her strength and give her courage and give her words, Lord, and just really help her to discern what you're speaking to her. Even while she's speaking, Lord, you might put something in her head that you want her to speak. And Lord, I just pray that she'll be open to that as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, that's it. Do you want this?
Yeah, please. Thank you. So I'm going to be talking to you about evangelism. Yeah. this is something that has been put on my heart recently. I was meant to do it at the last 50-50 service, but I was really ill, and it was just meant to be, because I feel like this Sunday is before Alpha. After church today, we're going to be doing a car wash. I just feel that actually it was meant to be, and it was a God thing that I couldn't do it. So I've tweaked it slightly. It's now longer, sorry. but yeah, it should be good. It's something that I thought I never thought I'd be doing myself. So it's now, I never ever thought I'd be kind of evangelizing at uni, and I'm now vice president of the CU, like evangelizing every week, which is crazy. it's something that used to terrify me and now only makes me slightly nervous. So it's improvement. The reason I want to speak about it today is that I think that sometimes evangelism is a thing that we say that only some people are gifted in. So we'd be like, you know, I'm not gifted in that. I'm not confident. I can't speak to people. That's obviously someone else's gift, so that's fine. I don't have to do anything. That's all right. But is it all right? We'll find out. God made us different. He gave us, that's in the Bible, God made us different. He gave us different gifts. So that's right, right? I don't know. Something to think about. I think that evangelism is something that we put in a box. What I mean by that is I think we think that evangelism is going into the streets and proclaiming Jesus' name with a megaphone and just, you know, well, that's what I think evangelism is. Just going out in the streets and walking up to people kind of publicly, just saying, you know, I'm from this church and I believe in Jesus. Can I speak to you a bit about Jesus? And that's quite scary and quite terrifying. I think we think that to do evangelism, we need to be really confident, really extra holy. And today I just want to question those things and actually say, is that true? Actually unpack evangelism, say what does it mean for us as a church? What does it mean for each and every person in this church? It's something that we shouldn't be afraid of. And hopefully this talk will help. We'll see. Get the clicker. Right, so now I'm going to show you a video. Basically, people have been asked the question, what is evangelism? And this is kind of their answer to those questions. So just have a look. One second. There's another video later as well. I'm pretty sure I told you. I don't know, sorry. Ready? It's not really. Literally, I think this is a sign. Okay, so, no, honestly, this morning, my parents aren't religious. Sharing. One second. my parents aren't religious. And I found it really hard this morning because they didn't really understand why I was nervous. And then I heard my mom, like, overheard her speaking. And she was like, oh, yeah, she has carers in the morning. And she was talking to her carer and she was just like, oh, yeah, my daughter's doing an evangelical car wash. I'm not really sure what that is. And I was like, oh, okay. And she goes, yeah, I don't know what that is. And I was like, oh, okay, that hurt a tiny bit. And then she was like, oh, and yeah, I don't really know what she is. Like, I don't know where, like, that came from, because none of us are what she is, but I don't know. But I love her for it, but I don't believe what she believes. And it just really hurt, because I know she didn't mean it in the way it sounded, but what is she? Like, she's another species or something? I was like, I'm your daughter? Like, what? But yeah, and that really struck me. And then I was running late, and I just think everything is against me. But that means this is good, and, you know, so pay attention. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Right. Video.
Evangelism to me is
going on the adventure of
sharing
the good news about Jesus Christ that he wants us to share.
It's telling our story.
Telling people about Jesus.
It's issuing the invitation of Jesus Christ to follow him.
I came from an atheist background, and so I needed somebody to share with me what it meant to know Jesus Christ.
In a nutshell, evangelism is the overflow of hope.
Am I allowed to say lots of fun?
Yeah.
Hope, humility,
honesty,
and confidence.
Introducing people to Jesus.
What is evangelism? So the dictionary describes evangelism as... evangelism... I had fun doing this. Evangelism is the preaching of the gospel or the practice of giving information about a particular set of beliefs to others. So I don't think that sounds scary. It's sharing and giving information. We do that every single day. We, by just chatting to our friends, we're giving them information. By standing up the front saying, oh, the bacon's ready, we're giving information. So I don't think evangelism should be scary if it's defined that way. In the video we watched, they were talking about sharing. That came up a lot. It was sharing. That's what evangelism is. It's sharing the good news. They talked about hope, about sharing the hope. And the hope is the hope of life that Jesus Christ brings. When we believe in him, we don't have to fear because we know that we have a place alongside him in heaven. That's the good news. That's the hope that we have to share. I loved the woman when she was like, lots of fun. Am I allowed to say that? And I just thought, yes, you're allowed to say that. I still don't think I would call evangelism lots of fun. Like, immediately in my head, evangelism, we're going to do some evangelism. I don't think, yeah, it's going to be so much fun. But the car wash is going to be fun. Immediately I think, oh my gosh, that's really nerve-wracking. I've got to speak to people and be really holy and know all the answers. And I think that's our immediate reaction. I could be wrong, but that's my immediate reaction. I think it still scares me a lot. It pushes me out of my comfort zone. But I'm going to start now thinking of it in that way, thinking of it as something fun, something joyful. That's the way God wanted it to be. What's scary about telling people truth? What's scary about telling them good news? It's not bad news. Oh, by the way, Jesus loves you and, like, he saved you. That's not horrible news. So why should we be scared about sharing it? Little picture of someone else. So why are we scared of it? If it's such great news. Well, I think one of the reasons that we are scared of evangelism is because we have a misconception of it, of what actually evangelism is. Like I've said, I think that definitely I picture it as like megaphones on the street, talking to people. I forgot what it's called, but there's this thing where people kind of go into the center of town or something and they just pray to God and say, right, I want to speak to someone, or lead me to someone, or give me a prophecy for someone. I'm just going to walk up to them in the middle of town and just speak to them. And people do that, and that's amazing, but really scary as well. And I think that's what I think evangelism is. prayer walks and doing action, like taking action and physically going up to someone and telling them that God is real, that God loves them, that they should believe it too. Now, I think this is great, and some people evangelize in this way, and well done, like God is clearly working through you, but it's not the only way, and I don't think we should feel bad if we aren't comfortable doing that. One of the ways that we can evangelize, I think, is through preaching. So what I'm doing today, that's evangelism. Like Helen does, like Scott does. I'm not going to list every single person that speaks up the front. Sorry if I didn't mention you. That doesn't mean I love you any more or less. yeah, it's evangelism because they are speaking the truths of God about the Bible up the front every day. They're telling the good news to each and every one of us. So that's evangelism if we like look at our definitions, that it's sharing information and good news. Also, we don't know who God is going to bring to these meetings. We don't know. And that's an exciting thing because he might have, well, probably has brought the right people here today to hear this talk. And he does it every single day. It's amazing. Next one. Evangelism is as simple as being open to people that you're a Christian. Really simple. I said simple and not easy because telling people that you're a Christian isn't easy for some people. Sometimes it's terrifying again. It's scary to be like, yeah, I'm a Christian and I believe in Jesus. So it's simple, but not necessarily easy. So I did my work experience in a Cornwallis because I want to be a secondary school teacher. Loads of people say, why would you want to be a secondary school teacher? Well, because I want to. yeah, and basically there was this girl who was the year above me when I was in Cornwallis, and she was training as well. And we just got on really well and were chatting. And then she said something like, oh, so what are you doing at the weekend? And I was like, oh, probably hanging out with friends and uni reading. And then, oh, on Sunday I'm going to church. And then afterwards, we'll probably have roast dinner as a family. And then every single day after that, no joke, she was asking me questions about God. She wasn't religious herself. And I didn't initiate any of the questions. And it was just from me saying, literally, oh, yeah, I'm going to church on Sunday. That's all you have to say. And that is you being open to people that you're a Christian. Just slipping it in conversation. Telling people your story, that's another way. A testimony. I think the word testimony scares people as well. Just telling people your story. You can do that. That's another way. The great thing is, sometimes in those situations, we actually don't have to do anything. If we're open to hearing God, God does it for us. So in that situation, all I said was, oh, I go to church on a Sunday. But she took that, God took that, and just, she was asking me questions and saying, oh, I bet they wouldn't like me at your church. And I was like, they'd love you at my church, come. Yeah, the next one. Evangelism, you can evangelize through your actions, not necessarily your words. Yeah, it's just about leading a godly life. So I'm just using so many examples. At university, in the Christian Union, we do this thing called CU football. I don't personally do it, but other people do it. And basically, the purpose of it is to evangelize. What they do is they have like a little mini talk in half time. Just where people can ask questions about God. But the main way they evangelize is by just playing the game. They play it. They're not overtly violent or aggressive. They don't swear. They just have fun and they play football with so many non-Christians. It's grown and grown. And that's just the way that they evangelize, which I think is great. It's not by screaming, I believe in Jesus. It's just by living it. Which is amazing. Which brings me on to my next point, which is evangelism is being living proof. I've put it in capitals because I think that's amazing. I got really excited when I was writing it. Yeah, the people around you see God through you. If you're in your workplace, if you're at school, at university, just in life, how you react to certain situations is you evangelizing, if you're being godly in that. So if you're having a bad day, you're allowed to feel rubbish. Like, you don't have to be, I've got to keep it together and smile and be really good, because that's the evangelistic thing to do. No, you can be rubbish and feel rubbish, but actually people seeing you hurting can be so powerful. They think that to become a Christian, it's like a golden ticket and yay, we're never going to be sad ever again. It's so not true. I think everyone in here would say that. We have someone to help us through it, but it doesn't necessarily make it that much easier. Yeah, that's what's really, really cool. Right, next one. Is evangelism for everyone? Going back to my point earlier when we were saying that everyone has different gifts, and everyone is unique. So you think, actually, I don't need to be good at evangelism because, you know what, that other person's good at it, so that's fine. I'm going to say to you now that that's not true. Every single person in here is called to evangelize. Everyone has different giftings. That doesn't mean that that is an excuse not to evangelize. So in Matthew 28, verses 8 to 20, it says, Jesus drew near and said to them, I have been given all authority in heaven and on the earth. Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I will be with you always to the end of the age. So here Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's commissioning them to go. He doesn't say, okay, yeah, you, Peter and John, you go make disciples. But Andrew, you're going to have to stay behind because you're only good at fishing. That's your gifting. So you can't go and evangelize. He doesn't do that. He calls every single one of them. He says that he's given them the authority to do it. So what are we today? We're the church, we're believers, we're followers, we're disciples. Therefore, it applies to us. It applies to everyone. And he's given us the authority to do it. In Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 17, it says, but how can they call to him for help if they have not believed? And how can they believe if they have not heard the message? And how can they hear if the message is not proclaimed? And how can the message be proclaimed if the messengers are not sent out? As the scripture says, how wonderful is the coming of the messengers who bring good news. But not all have accepted the good news. Isaiah himself said, Lord, who believed our message? So then faith comes from hearing the message, and the message comes through preaching Christ. How can they believe if they have not heard the message? Another little story. When I went to Macedonia on a mission trip, in June, I went and my eyes were actually opened to how little people actually knew about Christianity. And that's not just a Macedonian thing, that's here as well. Like, my parents know barely anything. I just assumed that everyone knew something. So we believe as Christians that those who don't believe are missing out on a relationship with our Father, with their Father. We know that they don't have a place necessarily in heaven, but we think actually that's okay because they know all the facts. Like, they know everything, they know how to pray, they know all of the facts. So it's okay, it's their choice. We can't really do anything else. Well, when I was in Macedonia, we went into the city and we just walked up to complete strangers. We asked them if we could chat to them, and because we were English, they were like, oh, could you tell us about England? And we were like, oh yeah. So we were chatting to them about England. There was these two girls who were like in their 20s. The conversation was dying and I thought, I feel like I should bring God into this. So I was like, before we go, could we pray for you? And they were like, oh, okay. Yeah, okay. One question before you do, like, how do you actually pray? And I was like, how do you pray? Doesn't everyone know how to pray? Like, or even have an understanding of it? Like, I went to Boughton Primary School, and I don't know if they still do it now, but we used to go down to St. Peter's at, like, harvest time, and we used to, after assemblies, pray. So I didn't necessarily believe. I didn't necessarily call myself a believer, but I knew who God was, and I knew how to pray. It just shocked me that people don't. It's really shocked me. It's a basic understanding, which brings us back to, but how can they call to him for help if they have not believed, if they have not heard the message? People don't know. They don't know the basics, and that's where we come in. I've got another video. Basically, again, at CU, it's all outreach, and we do this kind of video section each week called Outspoken, and it's in the form of a spoken word. And there's one called The Urgency of Evangelism. So this is it. Wait, bear with me. It is here. Wait. There definitely was one. Danny?
How would you feel if one of your most beloved friends was dying, but the doctor assigned to saving them was deafened to their crying? He gave them no hope, no prescriptions, no love. Your friend been seen as a helpless case when the doctor decided to give up. But then anger rises inside you because you find out one sickening truth. The doctor knows how to cure them, but just simply refused. How unjust the situation would be, but thank goodness it's hypothetical, right? But is it? I apologise now, I don't mean to bring great fright, but at one point in our lives, we've all been that doctor. A statement I know that's going to cause a huge fluster of defensive responses going, no, no, not me. But open your eyes, because knowledge of the Christ in which you believe has the power to bring people of this earth from death to life, to freedom of their sin and all of their strife. You see, this world's given us so much comfort, we've lost the true urgency of evangelism. Often getting too wrapped up in the endless politics that surround our religion, too busy arguing over women speakers, spirituality, baptisms or christenings, making the church more divided and getting blinded to one of the most important things that our Father desires none should perish. And I challenge you to view this as our Daddy's greatest wish. Every week we learn and we learn. We hear about what the Bible teaches about life on this earth, but it's time we stop being closed walking textbooks and never applying what we learn or sharing what we hear, realizing that our biggest barrier often comes from fear. The fear of man over fear of God, a statement I put my white flag up to and say, yeah, I'm guilty of. The mistake of choosing the selfish path, of protecting our reputation and avoiding rejection, rather than having true, deep and burning love for all those headed in the wrong direction. My biggest excuse is seeing my friends as fine, that they don't need Jesus, they already have a great life. And sure, maybe they're at peace right now, but what happens when their world is turned upside down? Because with evil in this life, that is bound to happen. But unlike me, they don't have a God to follow that will map for them a new path, one that's fruitful and full of great things. But hey guys, now this is where we all come in. As ambassadors of the gospel, it's our calling to bring the good news to them. John throws out the challenge to open your eyes and look at the fields ready for harvest now. So if you encounter someone that doesn't know Jesus, then don't wait around. This urgency comes because one, heaven has its opposite. Point two, because we're told that actually Jesus is coming back in a bit. And lastly, because in this life it's unpredictable weather, you're going to have enough time, because sometimes later actually becomes never. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can anyone hear without someone preaching to them? And how can someone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. Romans 10:13-15, it's my challenge to not leave this job to somebody else. Because think of what would happen if we all kept Jesus to ourselves. And if you feel like you can't, you just don't have the strength or the boldness, remember that when you pray, you have a Father that's told us, through him all things are possible. Ask and you will receive the Holy Spirit, who will give you the power to share what you believe.
I'm a bit biased, oh, because I know her, but that's pretty amazing. There's such truth in that. It was quite a long video, but at the beginning, she was talking about a doctor who had the ability to save the life of your friend, but he chose not to. And actually, That's us. That's what she was saying. The good news saves lives. If you believe in Jesus, you go to heaven and you're saved. So for us not to tell, for us not to ask God to give us the opportunity to tell, for us not to say, you know what? For us to say, you know, that's not my gifting, you know, so I don't have to do it. That's us being that doctor in that analogy. The great thing is, each and every person in this room is capable of evangelizing in any of the ways I've said, through just speaking to people, through actions, through their giftings, through others. It's not something we should fear. Also in the video, she mentioned fear. So why do we fear? And I think the main reason we fear is because, yes, it's a big responsibility, but we fear because we're humans and we're worried. We have this fear of being rejected. Loads of times at CU, they say, invite your friends to this event. The worst thing they could say is no. And I'm like, that's pretty bad. That's the fear of rejection. If someone says no to something, you think, oh, that's it, I'm never going to ask again. I shouldn't have asked. Well, no, because God is in that. Actually, maybe they weren't meant to go to that event, and that's why they said no. If they were meant to be there, God would really prompt you until you ask them, okay? He's not going to ask you once and then be like, okay, you're not going to do it, I'll leave you alone. He's going to keep prompting you if you're willing. Evangelism is something not to be scared of because God equips us. Firstly, he equips us with his word. So it says in Romans 10, verse 8, God's message is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the message of faith that we preach. We carry God's message and word everywhere we go. As soon as we say, yes, God, I believe in you, it's on our lips, it's in our hearts. Meaning, in a sense, God's word lives in us. So when we go out and talk to people about God or questions are asked to us, we don't have to be afraid because we have his word. Also, it says in the Bible that God knew that it was going to happen. So what I mean by this is he's equipped us with his word, but in Isaiah 65, it says he will go ahead of us and answer our prayers. Therefore, he goes before us and answers our needs before we even know that we need the thing that we're asking for. It also says in the Bible that he knew us before we were born, meaning that he made us and equipped us for this, for evangelism and other things, but for evangelism when we were in the womb. So why should we be scared when it's all in his hands? He also equips us with a diverse team, with other people. So for those of you that were there when Cheryl spoke about lions, she spoke about us being a team. Why is a team important? Because they support us. If we don't know what we're going to say in a certain situation, we can turn to our brothers and sisters in Christ and they will help. It's okay if you don't know the answer to every single biblical question that's thrown your way. You know, someone else might know in the church. It's okay to say, actually, I don't know, but I'll ask some of my friends and I'll get back to you. Or even ask God. Like, he can speak through you. So whenever I'm praying up the front or speaking now, afterwards, I forget everything I've just said. So people come up to me and they'll be like, oh, you know that part where you said that really touched me? And I'm like, oh, I'm glad it did. When did I say that? I can't remember. And it's true. I really can't remember. And that's when I know that God and the Holy Spirit is speaking through me, because it's not my words, because I can't remember them. So they're obviously his words, which is amazing. We have a great team here with so many different gifts. We have people that prepare bacon. We have people that put out chairs. We have singers. We have just welcoming people. We have so many, just such a great team. The great thing is that God does not prefer or hold any gift above another. We're all the same in his eyes. We're all equally gifted. And if you're good at prayer or you're good at some, or like worship or speaking, that's more of an obvious gift. And other people can think, oh, I'm not gifted in anything because I'm not good at that. Well, just being welcoming is such a gift. I was speaking to someone in here actually, I think it was last year when I was scared of evangelism, and I was saying I can't evangelize, like, I'm not one of those people that can go out in the street and just like speak to people, I just can't do it. And they were like, well, good. I was like, what? It's like, could you imagine if everyone was out on the streets proclaiming? Imagine everyone in this room out on the streets proclaiming Jesus' name, like, come to church, Jesus is amazing, it's wonderful. And then someone goes, actually, you know, I think this Junction place, I want to come. And then they come up to the door, and then this is on the door. The church has left the building, gone outreaching. So no one's in the building, everyone's outreaching. It doesn't work. You need people in the building welcoming people. That's just as important in evangelism than being out on the streets. Going back to the different giftings. It's not a very good example, but I'm going to use it. Basically, could you imagine if everyone loved football in here? I mean, like, every single person, all they ever talked about was football, football. I can't think of any footballers. Rooney, yeah, he's the best. Thierry Henry. yeah, and then someone walks through the door like, I want to figure out about church. And they love basketball. Like, they love it. We're kind of, oh dear, like, we have no way to talk to them. We talk about football all the time. What are we going to do? That's why he gives us different giftings and different interests. For a person like that to come in, loads of people say, so how did you like get involved in church? Like, how did you become a Christian? They say, well, I made great friends. Like, I came in and everyone was just so welcoming, so I stuck around. That's why everyone needs to have different giftings. Because if we're all the same, then we're never going to get anyone new in. Too many pieces of paper. Yeah, so we shouldn't fear. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 5, it says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we belong to each other. Every single person in our Junction team, that means every single person in this room, every single person that's ever stepped foot in Junction Church, has a unique function. We're a great team, Junction as a unit. And this just says that if we didn't have even one of you, it just wouldn't work. Just like in a body, if one part doesn't function or doesn't work properly, that body is not complete. It's not whole. Lastly, and most importantly, he equips us with his presence. He uses us in our weaknesses. He uses everyone and anyone who believes in him. He never leaves us. The Bible tells us that. All we have to do is just trust in that. I'm speaking a lot quicker than I thought I would. anyway, I'm not saying any of this to put any pressure on you. If, like me, your parents aren't religious, or if you have friends that don't believe, or you don't believe yourself here today, I'm not saying you have to believe now, and I'm not saying you have to go and tell every single person you know that doesn't believe that you love Jesus and that they should love him too. Because sometimes God uses other people, not you, to reach your family or your friends. You shouldn't feel guilty if you aren't ready yet to tell everyone, because God might actually have someone in mind to tell them, and it's not you. So don't put pressure on yourself. Just have a think about it. I'm just saying, speak to God and open yourself up to being molded by him. Listen to him. If he wants you to have those conversations, he'll give you opportunities to do that, to evangelize in any of the ways I've said. Sometimes you don't have to do anything, all you have to do is be willing. Maybe it's just like praying for courage to take that step, to claim that good news, to do what each and every single person in here is called to do. So what I want you to take away from this is that anyone and everyone here today can and will be used by God in evangelistic, oh, that's tough. I've said it all through the talk. Evangelistic way. You only have to believe it. So basically, that's the end of my talk. But is it? What's the time? Oh, it's like brilliant. Fun. Right. I did wonder. It's not working and moving. Anyway, I'm just going to pray to kind of close. Before I do that, I just want to reiterate that the prayer ministry is going to be at the back. If anything about evangelism has struck you, then go over there and get prayer for it. If it's just to for God to reveal a gifting to you that you don't know, if you don't think you have any giftings, we'll pray for you. You do have giftings. If it's just for courage, if it's for opportunities, if it's for family or friends to know Jesus, if it's for you to know Jesus, or if it's for nothing about evangelism at all, just go. We'd love to pray to you, pray for you and to you, at you. So I'm just going to pray. I'm going to end with this, though. It's from the Message version, and it's Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 to 16, and it says, "Go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night." Oh, I love that version. Yeah, Lord Jesus, I just thank you that we are all shining lights for you. Every single person is gifted. You love every single person and designed them the way you wanted them to be designed, Lord Jesus. I thank you that evangelism is something that we don't have to be scared of, because you've already equipped us for it before we were even born, Lord Jesus. I just pray for every single person in this room that there'll just be a peace falling on them right now, Lord Jesus, that you'll just fill every single one of us up with your holy presence, with a newfound confidence and a joy for outreach, Lord Jesus. I just pray that you remove any pressure or nervous feelings towards the word or towards the action of going and telling someone about God. I thank you that you have already pre-planned everything, that you love us so much, that you don't want us to worry about these things. You just want us to rejoice in them. So I just pray for that, for joy. Amen. And thank you.